Welcome back to another episode of The Balanced Mind. Why don't you grab a coffee, get comfortable, and let's have a real, honest chat today. In our last episode, we dove into intellectual wellness. We talked about how to keep our mind sharp, stay curious, and learn new things just for the fun of it. Today, we're pivoting to something that impacts almost every single hour of our daily living, and that is occupational wellness. Now, before you think this is about a corporate lecture about career goals, let's clear up the difference right away. Intellectual wellness is about how you stretch your brain across your whole life, like reading a good book, learning a hobby, or staying curious. Occupational wellness is specifically about your job. It's about you mix or what you do in your daily work, your career path, and your unique talents without losing who you are in a process. It's the art of making a living without completely losing your life. Let's be honest for a second here. Most of us spend about a third of our adult lives at work. Because we spend so much time there, it's incredibly easy to slide into a survival mindset. You show up, you do your tasks, you get your money, and you go home. It becomes a simple trade of your time for cash. But work wellness is proof that your job affects your daily happiness far more than you realize. It's about finding a sense of joy in what you do, feeling like your effort actually matters, and keeping a safe, firm line between your job title and your actual worth as a person. Here is the good news. You don't need to find a perfect mathematical dream job when nothing goes wrong to have great wellness. The dream job doesn't exist. What you actually need is a good match between your personal values and your daily task. When your job aligns with what you fundamentally care about, the work automatically feels lighter. You have more natural energy and you can handle a tough, stressful day much better because you know why you are there, why you're doing the job. But what happens when there's a big clash between what you believe and what you get paid for? You start to feel a slow, heavy, constant drag in your spirit. Let's look at an example. If you are someone who deeply values helping people and building community, but your job forces you to focus entirely on cold, hard numbers and aggressive competition, that friction is going to weigh you down. It's a quiet internal drain. And here's the catch. It's not the kind of tired that goes away just by sleeping in on a Saturday morning or by taking a quick weekend break, a trip. It's a deeper emotional exhaustion. True work wellness means taking a step back, looking honestly at the current job and asking yourself, does this environment let me be who I am, or does it force me to hide my true self just to fit in. Think about what happens when you meet someone new at a braai, or a social gathering, or in a coffee shop. What is almost the very first question they ask you? It is almost always, "So, what do you do for a living?" And notice how we usually answer. We don't say, "You know what, I work in marketing," or "I'm in teaching." We say, "I am a manager," or "I am a teacher." We use the words "I am" without even realizing it. We glue our entire self-worth directly to our job titles, our corporate rank, or our monthly productivity metrics. But when you glue your identity to your career, you are standing on incredibly shaky ground. What happens if the company restructures? What happens if you get a harsh performance review, or you miss out on a promotion that you've been working hard on for months? If your identity is tied entirely to your job, those workplace disruptions don't just hurt your wallet, they completely shatter your sense of who you are. Work wellness requires you to build a firm, protective wall between what you do for money and who you are as a person. Your job is simply a conscious choice of where your point of energy and talents are right now. It is not the final summary of your human value. A truly well person can be absolutely amazing at their job, highly dedicated and great at what they do, while keeping a rich, vibrant personal life that stays completely untouched by whatever chaos happens at office. A lot of companies think they can solve workplace unhappiness with superficial perks. They put a ping pong table in a break room, they free snacks, and they give you a generic wellness app to use on your phone. But real deep down work satisfaction can't be bought with snacks. If you look at the famous work of self-determination theory by psychologists Edward Deci and Richard Ryan, true human motivation can work, satisfaction comes down to three simple structural things, and that is choice, growth, and meaning. Choice is all about autonomy. It's the degree of say and trust you have over how you manage your day, your schedule, and your tasks. When a boss micromanages you and watches your every move, your sense of choice dies, and your work feels like a cage. Growth is about mastery. It's the visual opportunity to get better at your skills, overcome interesting challenges, and see how your progress is over time. If you do the exact same repetitive task for years with no chance to learn, your brain naturally turns off. Meaning is all about purpose. It is the unmistakably understanding of why your job matters. You don't need to be saving the world, but you do need to see how your daily efforts make someone else's life a little bit better and smoother. If those three components are missing. Work quickly turns into a boring, robotic, soul-crushing checklist. You might have a financial security, yeah, and your bank account might look great, but your mind will feel completely starved. Reclaiming your wellness starts by looking closely at your daily routine and finding small creative ways to bring more choice, growth, and meaning into your current space. The final thing we need to remember about occupational wellness is that it isn't a static destination. It's not a box you check once in your 20s and then never think about it again. Your needs, your goals, your energy levels, and you're naturally going to shift. As you move through different stages of life, what felt incredibly exciting, fast-paced, fulfilling in your early career might feel totally draining, loud, and out of alignment a decade later. And that is completely okay. Staying trapped in a toxic, negative, and completely boring job simply because you're afraid of the unknown, uncomfortable with the routine it creates, a slow, quiet resentment, and just part of work wellness is giving yourself permission to outgrow an environment. It's about learning or not learning, leaning into your own development and knowing that changing directions, pivoting, or starting a completely fresh path isn't a failure. It is a beautiful sign of personal growth. So, take a look at your own working life this week. Where can you create a bit more distance between your title and your job and your self-worth? Where can you find a little more choice? In our first segment, we looked at the big picture of work wellness. We talked about how crucial it is to keep a safe distance between who you are as a person and what you do for a living. But today, we need to talk about the biggest, loudest threat to that balance. We need to talk about burnout. Now, let's clear the air right away. If you look online or listen to standard corporate talk, burnout is almost always described as a personal flaw. You've probably heard it before. People imply that it is your burning out. It's because you aren't organized enough, and you are not tough enough, or you're just failing at your time management. Maybe someone told you that you just need to do more breathing exercises or practice yoga on weekends or download a mindfulness app. Now, I want to throw that entire narrative out the window. It is completely wrong. Honestly, it's a bit insulting. I'm not just making this up because I want to make you feel better. The World Health Organization officially states in their international guidelines that burnout is not a medical illness or a personal failure. They explicitly classify it as an occupational phenomenon, meaning it is direct result of chronic workplace stress that the company system has failed to manage successfully. It's a structural failure of the work environment, not a personal failure of the character. It happens when the employee is asked to run a marathon with a splinter space, with zero water breaks inside the broken system, and it blamed when the legs give out. To protect your peace, you have to understand how this exhaustion works and learn how to spot the red flags before they completely take you down. Burnout doesn't just show up overnight. It doesn't hit you like a sudden lightning bolt. Instead, it's a slow, quiet, insidious leak. It chips away your battery over weeks and months until you wake up one day and realize you are operating on absolute empty tank. Clinically and practically, it shows up in three very specific red flags or stages. The first flag is the empty battery. This is a deep, heavy physical and emotional fatigue that goes way beyond normal tiredness. We all get tired after a long day or a long week. But normal tiredness goes away after a good night's rest or a solid weekend of resting. The empty battery or burnout doesn't care if you sleep 9 hours. You wake up on Monday morning feeling just as exhausted as you did when you logged off on Friday night. Just the thought of looking at your inbox or opening your laptop makes you want to pull the covers over your head. You feel like you are running on fumes, and your reserve tank is completely dry. The second flag is the sore outlook. When your body and mind stays exhausted for a long time, your brain tries to protect itself the only way it knows how, and that is by creating distance. You start to pull away emotionally. You become cynical, cold, or completely numb about your daily task, your team and your clients. Work that used to spark genuine interest or pride now just makes you feel annoyed. Or if a client calls with a problem, your first reaction is empathy, a deep irritation. You start to view everyone around you as an inconvenience. The cynicism is a defense mechanism. Your mind is simply too tired to care anymore, so it shuts down your emotions to save whatever energy you have left. The third flag is doubting yourself. As the fatigue and cynicism settle in, the third flag is doubting yourself. As the fatigue and the cynicism settles in, your actual performance at work inevitably starts to slide. You struggle to focus, you make small mistakes, and you miss deadlines. When you look at your output, a wave of self-doubt hits you. You start to feel completely ineffective. You look in the mirror and think, you know what, I'm failing at this. I'm not good at my job anymore. You lose your confidence. You doubt the skills you spend years building. And then you feel trapped in a frustrating loop where nothing you do seems to matter or make a difference. So, if burnout is the failure of the workplace and not the person, what exactly causes it? Groundbreaking research by Dr. Christina Maslach and Dr. Michael Leather, who are leading global experts on workplace burnout, provide that this exhaustion happens when there is a massive ongoing clash between you and the working environment. They mapped out 6 specific tribal areas where these clashes occur. The first clash is too much work. This is the most obvious one. It happens when the sheer volume, speed, or difficulty of your daily task constantly outpaces your actual time and energy. If your plate is always overflowing and your deadlines are always unrealistic, you never have a moment to breathe, let alone recover. The second clash is no say. This is a lack of control. It's when you are held strictly responsible for specific targets or results, but you have zero power, voice, or authority to choose how the work you actually get done. Being micromanaged and watched constantly constantly kills your enthusiasm and leaves you feeling completely helpless. The third clash is no reward. This is when the payback for your hard work is totally missing. And it's not just about money. Though a fair salary is very crucial, it's about social recognition. If you pour your heart into a project, work late nights and finish it successfully, but your boss doesn't even bother to say thank you or acknowledges your effort, your motivation naturally stalls. The fourth clash is no connection. This happens when you work in a lonely, hyper-competitive or hostile environment. If trust is incredibly low, communication is weaponized, and office politics or gossip rule the day, your workplace becomes an emotional minefield. Humans need safety and community to thrive even at work. The fifth clash is no fairness. This is when company rules change depending on who you are. Transparency is completely missing. Favoritism dictates who gets the best assignments or promotions, and hard work matters less than knowing the right people. Dealing with a lack of fairness weighs down your sense of justice very quickly. The sixth and final clash is a conflict of values. This is the moral friction which we touched on earlier. It happens when the actual goals, daily choices, and business practice of company you work for goes directly against your personal ethics and morals. Pushing a project you don't believe in or using tactics that feel shady will cause a deep, low-grade inner conflict that completely drains your spirit. Ignoring these six clashes doesn't just make you feel unhappy at the office. It feels a physical mark on your health. When you are stressed out every single day, your body thinks it's under attack. It stays in permanent state of high alert, constantly pumping out stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. Over time, this constant chemical overload wreaks havoc on your physical health. It ruins your sleep patterns, causes stomach and digestive issues, weaken your immune system, and catch you cold, and you can catch the cold going around, and puts a heavy, dangerous drain on your heart. On top of the physical toll, chronic stress actively clouds your brain, the part of your brain responsible for focus, memory, emotional control, and smart decision-making, essentially gets short-circuited by stress chemicals. When you are deeply burnt out, you aren't just having a lazy day or imagining struggles. Your brain is genuinely struggling to function normally. Remember one thing. Your job is just a piece of your life. Your health is the foundation that makes everything else possible. Grab your cup, take a sip, and let's dive right into something that is easily one of the hardest parts of work wellness. Setting boundaries. In our last segment, we looked at how chronic stress and a broken work environment can lead to a total burnout. But today we need to talk about the primary shield you have to protect yourself from that drain. We need to talk about the art of setting a firm, healthy, professional boundary. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast often, you know that I talk a lot about boundaries because it's very important and it's the only way you can protect yourself. So let's be honest about the world we live in today. The natural lines that used to protect our personal lives from our jobs have completely vanished. Think about how it used to be generations ago, when a person left the office or clocked out of the factory at 5, their workday was officially over. They physically walk away from the building and the company had absolutely no way to reach them until they walk back through the front door the next morning. But today, because of our work email, WhatsApp groups, and team messaging, apps live directly on our personal smartphones. The office isn't a physical place anymore. It is a persistent digital ecosystem that allows us into our cars, into our coaches, and right into our bedrooms. This sits in our pockets while we are trying to eat dinner with our family or enjoying a bride with our friends. Without clear protective guardrails, your job will naturally expand like water. flooding every single square of your free time, your mental space, and your emotional energy until you have absolutely nothing left for yourself. Before we can look at the practical tools and setting boundaries, we have to be upfront and confront the internal habits and fears that stop us from setting them in the first place. For a lot of us, taking on way too much work isn't about just having an aggressive boss. It comes from deep-seated psychological patterns. It's driven by the intense fear of letting people down, a constant anxious need for approval, or the belief that saying no is an admission of weakness or failure. Modern corporate cultures are incredibly smart, and they regularly exploit these exact personal insecurities. They rebound chronic overwork with beautiful fluttering words like drive or dedication or passion, or even being a true team player. How many of us have heard that before? They reward the employee who skip their lunch break, stays late every single night, and answers email at 10 p.m. by calling them a star performer. When you operate from a place of worry and keep saying yes to every single demand, you implicitly teach your colleagues and your relationships that your time, your energy, and your personal life have absolutely no cost. You make yourself an easy target for what experts call a scope creep, the slow, quiet, unmanaged growth of your job responsibility without any matching increase in your salary. Your support or your time setting boundaries isn't lazy, and it isn't an act of selfishness. It is a vital act of self-preservation. It requires you to shift your mindset from wanting everyone to constantly like you to wanting them to respect your time and your health. The absolute hardest part about setting a boundary isn't understanding the concept. It's finding the exact words to say when a manager or a high-profile client puts you on the spot. Saying no can feel incredibly risky, and your heart might start racing and thinking about it. To take the fear out of these conversations, you need to frame your answers around quality, time, and management, and project focus, rather than your personal limitations. You aren't refusing to work, you are protecting the quality of the output. Try these three simple professional talk tracks whenever you need to push back. First, try the focus check. If your boss drops a brand new project on your desk when the plate is already full, you can say, "I want to make sure new initiative gets the focus and quality it deserves. If I take on this today, I will delay the delivery of the weekly reports as we discussed previously. Which of these two priorities should I focus on first?" This works beautifully because it fits the problem back to back. You aren't saying you're going to do it. You are asking them to help you manage the company's resources smarter. Secondly, use the time shift. When the colleagues ask for immediate help on something that isn't an actual emergency, you can respond with something like this: I would be happy to take ownership over this task. Looking at my current commitments for the week, the earliest I can kick this off with high quality is next week, Tuesday morning. This is a firm timeline while still showing that you are helpful and a team player. Thirdly, try help request. If someone wants you to dive into a massive project that goes beyond your role, you can say something like this: I can absolutely assist with this initial strategy phase of the project, but I don't have the daily bandwidth to manage the paperwork without falling behind on the main account. These scripts work because they turn an emotional refusal into a logical conversation without being the resources available. The final part of your boundary strategy is rewriting how you value your employment. In the perfect world, every single job would fill us with deep existential meaning. But in reality, some career seasons are simply transactional. Sometimes a job is just a safe, steady way to pay your bond, buy groceries, or support the people you love. And there is absolutely no shame in that. You do not need to derive your life entire purpose or identity with a 9-to-5 job for your life to be profoundly meaningful. When you view your job through a healthy, pragmatic lens, as the fair trade of your skills for money, setting boundaries becomes incredibly easy. You realize that a company is purchasing a specific set of skills for a set of number of hours. They are not buying your soul, your physical health, or your absolute presence. This healthy emotional distance allows you to approach your daily task with calm, excellent professionalism. You can care deeply about doing a great job without letting the daily corporate politics, gossip, and stress ruin your mood or dictate your value as a person. So, I want you to think about it. Take a breath, finish your coffee, and let's stay safe, feeling settled in. Grab your last cup of coffee, settle in, and let's talk about the real practical action. Cultivating work wellness isn't about daydreaming about a perfect stress-free future that doesn't exist. It's about actively changing your day-to-day habits right now. Real sustainable success means hitting your goal and doing excellent work while fearlessly protecting your health, preserving your relationships, and enjoying your life outside the office. By treating your energy as a valuable limited asset, you can build a personal wellness routine that keeps you growing without running your battery down to zero. To build a routine that actually lasts, you need to understand where your energy is going every day. Most people only track their time. They pack their calendars with back-to-back meetings without ever stopping to think about the emotional cost of their hours. Time management is helpful, but energy management is what keeps you alive. An energy check is a simple, practical tool to trace exactly what charges your internal battery and what actually empties it. For the upcoming week, I want you to keep a quick log of your main tasks and grade them on a simple scale. Notice the patterns. You might find that sitting quietly to focus deeply on the project that gives you a sense of slow and satisfaction. On the flip side, you might notice the dealing with office drama, navigating toxic politics, or sitting in long, unstructured alignment meetings leaves you feeling tense, anxious, and completely drained. Once you see these patterns clearly on paper, you can start to arrange your week a lot smarter. Try to group your heavy administrative or draining tasks together during afternoon blocks when your energy is already naturally lower. Save your peak morning hours for the high-value work that requires the best creative thinking. This small design change keeps you from wasting your best mental sharpness on trivial tasks. Ensure you to stay resilient from Monday through to Friday. Long-term productivity relies on a simple truth. You cannot perform while you never rest. Think of your body and mind like a car engine. If you drive it at top speed, redlining the RPMs for hours without ever stopping, it is eventually going to overheat and suffer catastrophic failures. True recovery cannot be luxury to you. Only think about once a year during December holiday. You need to build directly into your daily schedule using both mini breaks and mega breaks. To keep your brain from overheating on a daily scale, you need to use a world-famous strategy called the Pomodoro Technique, which is created by Francisco Cirillo. He provided that our brain thrives on bursts of deep focus followed by deliberate rest. Put this timer on your desk or phone. Work hard and focus on 50 minutes and then walk. Work hard and focus for 50 minutes and then walk around completely for 10 minutes. Use that short break to completely change your view. Leave your desk, stretch your body, look out the window at the sky, or drink a glass of water. Don't use the break to scroll through media posts. Give your eyes and brain a total rest. On a yearly scale, use your hard-earned leave days. Vacation time is a core part of your total salary and compensation package. It is not an optional bonus. that you would feel guilty to take. Use that time to fully unplug, delete all work apps, and step away from the office. A work culture that praises never taking time off is a culture that rewards sickness and burnout. Reject that pressure and prioritize your rest. True work wellness also includes a healthy dose of forward momentum. Just like we talked about in our last episode on intellectual wellness, human beings are naturally wired to learn, stretch, and grow. When you stay stuck in exactly the same role for years and zero challenges, zero learning, and zero new skills, your mind naturally burns out. Destigmatization causes the heavy, soul-crushing boredom that drains your work energy just as fast as an intense overloaded schedule. To keep these things fresh, build a personal growth path that belongs entirely to you, not just your employer. Dedicate a small, steady chunk of your week to learning skills that travel with you wherever you go. Read an interesting book about your field, take a short online course, or learn how to use a new program. By taking charge of your own growth, you stop being a passive worker waiting for a promotion and start actively managing your own career. This keeps your mind sharp and boosts your confidence, reminding you that you always have options. Now, if you are sitting out there today listening to this podcast and you feel completely stuck, overwhelmed, or deeply burned out by your current work environment, remember that you do not have to figure this out alone. Sometimes we need an objective professional guide to help us untangle the mess, rebuild our boundaries, and design a life that feels balanced again. If that sounds like you, I want to invite you to take a real step forward for your own peace of mind. Reach out and connect with me, Dion Bicycle. I am a registered holistic counselor who specializes in occupational and professional wellness. I can help you look at your unique work situation, build the solid boundaries and strategies you can use in your workplace, and also guide you through practical step-by-step process to claiming your life, your momentum, and your personal resilience. You can reach out today to book a session and start steering your life back into balance. So as we conclude this episode on occupational wellness, let's look back at the ground we've covered today. We've started by realizing that work is far more than just a paycheck. It is an environment that impacts your spirit, and it requires a clear division between what you do and who you are. We look at the red flags of burnout, learning the chronic exhaustion is a structural problem to be solved, not a personal weakness to feel guilty about. We explore the powerful art of setting firm boundaries, saying no professionally, and reclaiming our digital spaces. And finally, we've looked at how to manage our energy and build a daily routine that supports a long-term growth. Your career is a massive journey, but it should never come at the cost of your soul, your sanity, and most importantly, your health. Your job is what you do, but your wellness is the foundation that makes everything else possible. Protect it fearlessly, manage your energy wisely, and keep moving forward with balance. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of The Balance Mind. Enjoy the rest of your coffee and take care of yourself, and we will chat again in the next episode. Bye for now.